This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. And before I get to all the news stories here, can I offer a public service announcement?
Of course.
Okay. Today's the first day, because as you know, I'm an eco warrior now.
Yes.
Today is the first day that I drove to work since my vacation, because I've been riding my bike.
Uh-huh.
I've been commuting by bicycle. And the Burke-Gilman Trail, I will say it again, it is one of the great gems of this region.
Agree.
I mean, just fantastic. And as bad as so many things have gotten in this city, just to ride along Lake Washington, most of the way to downtown, and then I ride through the UW campus where I went to school, mm-hmm. and the surface streets they're getting very hairy, because I used to commute by bike 10, 15 years ago. And the last few days have been scarier than anything I remember from 15 years ago.
It's nothing specific about the last couple of days. You're just saying because now you're riding your bike more and now you realize, whoa.
The roads are more dangerous than they were 15 years ago. First of all, the roads are in horrible shape.
They are.
If you're a bicyclist, man, you're riding surface streets, it is dangerous. But anyway, let me get to my public service announcement. If you are on the Burke-Gilman Trail, please have some situational awareness. So I'm riding home from work yesterday, and I'm going, I'm going 15 miles an hour.
Oh, on your electric bike. Okay, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, 15 miles.
I could do 15 if it wasn't an e-bike. And here's the thing. I ride in with very little power assist in the mornings.
It's good that you're even on a bike. I'm not knocking you for that. I'm just laughing because you're probably going faster than that. But anyway.
No, the speed limit's 15 miles an hour.
Okay,
yeah,
you're going right there. Okay.
So I'm right at 15 on the button. I'm going at a pretty good clip. There's a woman in front of me who's walking with her friend, and she has a dog on a leash.
Uh-huh.
And I'm, 20 yards away. She sees a garbage can on the left side of the trail, and she doesn't even take the barest glance to behind her to see if anyone's coming. Well, it turns out I'm the one who's coming up behind, and
don't you say something, though, like on your left?
Well, I'll get to that in a second. But she goes to the garbage can. She lets out the leash. The dog stays on the right side of the trail. She's on the left side. The leash is across.
Oh, boy. That can be a disaster.
And I'm
15.
If it had been a couple of seconds later, I would have hit her or her dog or the stupid leash, and it would have been really bad. So all I'm asking is, before you cross the trail, take a glance to see if something or anything's coming up behind you. Because I'm amazed.
For walkers, is there etiquette? You just stay on the
On the right.
Yeah, stay on the right, like everybody else.
And then as I am coming up, I always, with bikers or walkers, and this is my dilemma. Because it seems nicer to say, on your left. Mm-hmm. But I've also got one of those stupid bells.
Oh, you do?
Ding, ding.
Yeah.
Ding, ding.
What can you do, a combo?
Well, but I don't know, because the bell just seems so wimpy to me. But I get tired.
Like a blasting horn?
I get tired of saying, on your left. And here's the other thing that I'm doing.
You really get tired? You've only been on the bike a few weeks.
Yeah.
You're already tired of that?
I pass everybody. Nobody passes me. But here's, what was I going to say? Something else. Anyway.
Situational awareness.
Just have some situational awareness. That's all I'm asking for the people on the trail, because it can be very, very dangerous out there. Did you see the CNN presidential debate?
I saw the results of it. I couldn't believe it was going to become like a a special, like a
Ursula.
It was going to be drawn out.
This was
I just didn't have time.
Era where TV news has gotten, especially on the cable channel. I think our local stations still do a pretty good job. I think we're very well served.
It's Cairo 7 TV in particular.
Yeah. I like all of them. But I didn't think that cable television news could possibly get any more stupid. It plumbed depths that I thought were absolutely unimaginable. So here's the thing. I'm going to play most of this for you in case people
didn't get to see this.
No, you're not going to believe what you're about to hear. They did it. Like the weekend before the NCAA basketball tournament, March Madness, they have the tournament selection show where they reveal who the one seed is and they're going to play the number 16. And so they it's unbelievable. So they did the first 16, the lowest 16 seeds out
of the 20. The lowest 16 out of the 20. Okay.
Yeah. And they put them on, I guess it's either Wednesday or Thursday, whenever these debates are. And Jay Inslee, by the way, made this next round of debates.
Yes.
Which is amazing to me. But anyway, so then they had the top four seeds. Biden, Bernie, Elizabeth Warren, and Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm.
So they have two boxes on the set. And they have the names of those four Democrats on four different cards. And then they mix them up like a blackjack dealer in Vegas.
This has never happened.
No, it was the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And so then they put those four names in one box. And then they have two cards that say Wednesday and two cards that say Thursday. And then they put them face down and mix them up like a blackjack dealer. And they put those in a second box. And so they're going to draw the name of one of the candidates. And then they're going to draw the day that they're going to appear. And if anybody thinks that I'm exaggerating, because nothing could possibly be as stupid as what I am describing, listen to this.
Down to the final draw. We've been grouping the candidates based on recent polling. These are some of the biggest names in the Democratic race. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Bernie Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren are moments away from finding out when they will be debating. And this round will go a long way in determining the dynamics of the two debates. Let's go to Ana Cabrera. She has the final draw.
Okay, so then now... Okay. It's like... They're going to...
It really is like a sporting event.
Yeah, their first round matchup is going to be at the Southeast Regional
with that
in
dramatic
Memphis.
Dramatic music.
Yeah. And so then they go to this gal with the two boxes.
Well, by now our viewers, of course, know the drill, but I want to walk you through it one more time because, again, this is the final draw, and we have four candidates left. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Bernie Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren arranged here in alphabetical order. I also have four date cards. Two for July 30th on Tuesday.
You know how in high school you had the jocks and the nerds? And the jocks were kind of the cool kids. Okay, the NCAA tournament draw, it's kind of cool. This is the nerd fest right here.
Hey, but you know what?
These are the biggest nerds.
There's room for nerds in high school.
There's room for nerds in cable television news. This was the stupidest thing ever.
And two for Wednesday, July 31st. Let's start with the name cards of the presidential candidates and put them in the box.
You're dealing out
again,
the cards?
Again, I'm going to give these a good mix. These final four chosen because of the polling position currently.
Mixing them up.
And
dealer.
A reminder, full transparency.
And then she flips her hands over to show the ceiling in the sky that she didn't pocket any chips.
What was the reminder, full transparency?
Oh, here, let me make sure we hear that.
For full transparency, you can watch the camera above me overhead.
What?
That's the full transparency. They actually did have an eye in the sky, like in a casino, so you could make sure there wasn't any chicanery. So that, you know, Bernie got on Tuesday instead of Wednesday.
Also worth noting, these final four are four of the top five fundraisers in the last quarter. Put them in the box.
Fascinating
note. Good mix. Three sitting senators and a former vice president are about to learn their debate nights. Grab the debate night card.
Nerds! No. Nerds!
Again, over here, give those a nice little shuffle.
Oh, jeez. Okay, so now she's putting the Tuesday and Wednesday cards and shuffling them, putting them in the other box.
Okay, let's drop those into the debate night bin. Mix them up.
Okay, so now
find out who our first.
Now she's has her hand in the name bin, and you can see she's swirling her hand around, like because she has to mix them up a second time.
Do you think Jay Inslee was watching this like with bated breath?
Yeah, because he needed to know who he's going to face in the second round of the tourney so he'd have a chance at the Sweet 16.
First candidate is in our final draw.
And then she had to be prepared with little factoids. You know, like in the NCAA tournament, North Carolina, they had a 28-4 record. They're coached by Roy Williams. They've won 6 national titles. Whatever. So she has to have this for the Nerd Fest.
Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. She's been in the Senate now since 2013. Also a former Harvard Law professor. She will
also formerly Native American.
Be debating on Tuesday, July 30th.
Wow.
The first night. One down, 3 to go.
Oh, I can't wait.
Our second candidate in our final draw is...
They're serious.
I'm telling you, it is the stupidest thing I've ever seen on cable television.
Oh, my word.
It's just... there's no sense of...
Do they have a whole panel of people waiting to discuss?
Yeah, and then they're going to go to, you know, Charles Barkley and Clark Kellogg to discuss if Winthrop can upset North Carolina in that 16-1 game.
California Senator Kamala Harris has been serving now since 2017 in the Senate.
That's too much.
It was unbelievable.
Someone should have just stood up and said, I can't do this.
But that's the thing. There's no sense that they have any self-awareness. They don't understand even remotely that they've become the worst parody of themselves.
The ratings are not good, and they've been pumping.
Not.
They've been pumping this. You know, we're gonna pick. We're gonna do it live. Like as if that was like must-see TV.
Yeah,
although you were watching.
It's unbelievable.
Our next candidate in our final draw is the Vice President Joe Biden.
Ow!
Served alongside Barack Obama in the White House for 8 years. Before that, he was in the Senate for over 30 years, serving for the state of Delaware. He will be debating on the second night.
Ooh, that means a rematch versus Biden and Kamala Harris. You may remember Harris pulled off an upset in the conference finals a month ago. But now that we're at the big dance, we'll see if Joe, the top seed, if he can overturn that upset.
Wednesday, July 31st. So we'll have another matchup with Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. That leaves our...
Okay, now they've pulled 3 names of the 4 out of the box. So there's only one name possible, but they still keep the Deal or No Deal music going in the background.
And, well, they're committed at this point.
Yeah, but everybody in the world knows that there are only 4 names in the box, and they've already pulled out 3. But, oh, let's find out if the 4th one somehow changed. Maybe it's David Copperfield, and he was able to change the name on the card. And maybe Jay Inslee has made the final 4 somehow.
Final candidate of the night
is...
Senator Bernie Sanders.
No! He was the only one you hadn't mentioned yet in the final 4. Oh, my Lord.
I am a little excited about the Joe versus Kamala versus Jay.
So Inslee's in the same bracket.
So if Kamala goes after him, I'll be good.
Kamala's not going to go after Inslee.
Might be fun.
No. No.
It's the same
Inslee's
energy
nothing.
As Joe puts out.
No. Inslee, if... You know, dog.
Well, although Inslee got a little boost from Howard Stern.
Yeah, who didn't even know what state he was from.
I don't even know what state.
Yeah.
But...
I like this guy.
And he thought he was well-spoken. That was the most comical to me. Yeah. He's obviously never listened to him speak.
From Vermont, the runner-up, the Democratic primary.
Okay, I've shared enough of that. But it was the most ridiculous thing. And CNN's ratings are down... they were way down a year ago, and now they're off another 50%. They are just riding this into the toilet. But here's why they're still around. Because if it was a competitive marketplace, and if it was truly only based on ratings, CNN would have had to have folded the tent. But because of the way cable and satellite works, they bundle in the basic package, and CNN, you know, gets, you know, I don't know how much for, you know, every month you pay your cable or satellite bill, but I'm forced every month to give some money to CNN. And I'm telling you, if they weren't on in airports, they wouldn't have any viewers at all, because that's the only place anybody ever sees CNN. So that was the big exciting.
So can we tease some of our audio in Big Lead, too, with our one Trump cut?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I haven't even heard this yet. So Donald Trump, I just saw him on the South Lawn at the White House. He was about to fly away somewhere, but he was just talking and talking and talking live, and you were rolling on it,
I noticed. And it was, you know, question after question about the squad and racist, and we have lots of that audio. But then he was asked this one question, and I just thought it was hilarious, and he was so intrigued by it.
I have not heard this yet, but this was the question that really seemed to capture the president's attention. We'll have more of this in the Big Lead for you, too.
I do think we have bigger problems than plastic straws. You know, it's interesting about plastic straws. So you have a little straw. But what about the plates, the wrappers, and everything else that are much bigger, and they're made of the same material? So the straws are interesting. Everybody focuses on the straws. There's a lot of other things to focus. It's an interesting question.
That is an interesting question.
I thought so, too, to just throw that question
what
in.
What was the question?
What do you think of the straw ban? But or something along those lines. I couldn't really. It's hard to hear the questions.
Oh, by the way, speaking of the straw ban. Oh, I'm out of time because I spent so much time on that debate draw. But on the cruise ship that we were on vacation, they have had a little ice cream shop.
I love that.
I never drink milkshakes anymore. Uh-huh. But I wanted a chocolate malt, and I asked them to put a banana in it.
Hmm.
And it was fantastic. But they gave me one of those paper straws.
It just disintegrates in about 2 seconds.
You cannot drink a nice, thick chocolate malt with banana.
You have to do a bring-your-own metal straw anymore.
Yes. So the paper straw thing, we're done with that. We got to overturn that. That's
based on your one milkshake.
That's why you got to re-elect Trump, because he finds the straw issue very interesting. And if you're going to be a single-issue voter, that's the most important one. In 2020. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes of the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes and we'll show you how stupid CNN is. Okay, it's 50 years ago this weekend that man first walked on the moon. I think you're going to enjoy this. In the next half hour, we're going to take you back 50 years and hear the audio as it happened. Next on the Dory Monson Show. I don't think this is in my key.
You could probably make it.
Remember where you were 50 years ago tomorrow?
I was three. No.
Nicole?
I was in the Philippines.
Where were you 50 years ago tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, I wasn't alive.
David? Where were you 50 years ago tomorrow?
I actually was alive. I'm 75 years old.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was on the moon.
He's right. Well preserved.
I was 7 years old. I remember I remember every moment of this. My mom and I had driven to Southern California because she had a sister and a brother who both lived in Orange County with their spouses. And we were at my Aunt Luella and Uncle Red's house. And I just remember gathering around the television to watch this historic event of man walking on the moon. And it was really exciting. I mean, watching the Rockets take off was a spectacle. And I would get up. Sometimes the liftoff would be at 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this little black and white TV in our house. And I would get up to watch blastoffs. And then they would wheel the television in the classroom at Webster Elementary School. And I remember a couple of times watching because they would, you know, the parachute would open and they would land in the ocean. And then the Navy SEALs would go out and they'd open the hatch and you'd see if the astronauts were okay after reentry.
It's incredible to think of what was happening 50 years ago.
Oh, my goodness. And that, you know, they're doing this with slide rules.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's mind-blowing. And so we did something a few weeks ago on the 75th anniversary of D-Day. We went back and we got all the old, you know, archived news audio of that momentous event when a bunch of brave young American and allied men, you know, there were certainly other countries involved too, but they saved the world, literally. And this was something that was just a lot more positive. The first moonwalk, and that was 50 years ago tomorrow. But I decided I'm not going to come in and do a show on Saturday. And so we wanted to just take you back 50 years ago, what it was like, because you may recall, you know, just a couple years earlier, there had been an Apollo. It wasn't a takeoff, but it was a training for a takeoff. They were on the launch pad, and there was a fire, and the astronauts died in that fire. It was a very risky endeavor to go into space, and now they were going to try the riskiest thing in the history of humankind, and that was to get to the moon and to walk on the moon.
These men are extremely confident over the success of their mission. They have acknowledged that perhaps the figure is 80% for complete success, but that means actually accomplishing all of the test objectives of landing on the moon does not mean necessarily 80% chance of a successful return to Earth. That they are confident of, the space program is confident. They salute as they went up the elevator. I haven't seen that before from the...
No, that was quite something. I frankly never have looked back, but this is the first time I've looked over to see someone saluting.
That was Walter Cronkite on CBS. And understand what he just said. They had an 80% chance of getting to and walking on the moon, but their chances of successfully returning to Earth were considerably less than that. So, you know, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin and Michael Collins, they took on this endeavor thinking that there was somewhere between a 20 and 50% chance of them dying. I mean, can you imagine that? And then it was liftoff, and this was 3 days, three days ago, 50 years ago, on July 16th.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, it looks good, Wally.
Yeah, we got a roll,
somebody must be leaving town.
Building shaking. Getting that buffeting we've become used to. What a moment. Man on the way to the moon.
Again, Walter Cronkite, but the building was shaking. That's always been on my bucket list. I'd always wanted to see a space launch. And the space shuttle, I heard, it just sent waves through your chest if you were at the nearest viewing station. I would have loved to have seen one of those. Okay, so they travel for nearly 4 days to get to the moon, and then they've got to set the lunar module, the Eagle, down on the surface of the moon.
Okay, engine stop. APA at a descent. Host control, both auto, descent engine command override off. Engine arm off. 413 is in.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Listen,
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You're looking good here.
Hey, explain something to me. When we occasionally open up the phone lines here.
Yeah.
First time call. How is it that 50 years ago, communications between the moon and mission control are clearer than the phone calls we take on the radio?
It's so true.
It's
I mean, anytime someone tries to say, well, I'm not sure if that can be done, you know, like something as simple as fixing our air conditioning system. It's like 50 years ago, we got a man on the moon.
Of course, all of this happened on a Hollywood soundstage. We all know that. Okay, so then, live, we watched Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin getting on their pressurized suits for the moonwalk.
Now we hear from Houston that the crew has completed putting on the space suits and the boots, helmets, and they're now donning their portable life support system, that backpack that carries their oxygen, the cooling liquids, and their communications equipment, and is good for a four-hour stay on the lunar surface. Well, within that margin, they'll get back in the spacecraft after 2 hours and 40 minutes on the lunar surface.
And then you saw Buzz Aldrin guiding Neil Armstrong out of the hatch of the Eagle.
Okay, not quite cleared away. All right, a little.
Now Aldrin's directing him through the hatch opening.
That's okay. That's good.
He can't see where he's going. He's backing out of the hatch.
It's so close on the...
He wants to guide him very carefully. He didn't
want to
catch on the side of that opening. It's a delicate suit and backpack. He's guiding him out.
And they had sent a camera out first, so you could see Neil Armstrong's foot coming down the steps.
There's a foot coming down. There he is. There's a foot coming down the steps.
And then one of the most momentous moments in the history of mankind. Let me take a real quick time out, and then we will continue this audio memory 50 years ago tomorrow. When Neil Armstrong first walked on the moon. The rest next on the Dory Monson Show. About Andy Kaufman. That's okay. So 50 years ago tomorrow is when Neil Armstrong first walked on the moon. So we just played for you all the audio of the takeoff and them seeing him first take a step down the steps toward the moon. And then this is one of the most famous moments in the history of mankind.
Now ready to go down and get the moon by antennas out.
Okay, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now.
Okay, I just checked getting back up to that first step. That hasn't collapsed too far, but it's adequate to get back up.
Roger, we copy.
Pretty good little jump.
Buzz, this is Houston. F2, 1/160th second for shadow photography on the sequence camera.
Okay. I'm at the foot of the ladder. The lamb footbeds are only depressed in the surface about 1 or 2 inches, although the surface appears to be very, very fine-grained as you get close to it. It's almost like a powder. Ground mass is very fine. I'm going to step off the lamb now. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
And with that, Neil Armstrong first set foot on the moon.
Yes, the surface is fine and powdery. I can pick it up loosely with my toe. It does adhere in fine layers
powdered charcoal to the sole and sides of my boots.
I think that's an interesting description of the surface. Because they didn't know exactly what to expect, but like powdery charcoal. I mean, you knew exactly what he meant when he said that, just how fine and light it was. I thought that was a great descriptor.
I only go in a fraction of an inch, maybe an eighth of an inch, but I can see the footprints of my boots and the treads in the fine sandy particles.
Neil, this is Houston. We're copying.
There seems to be no difficulty in moving around as we suspected. It's even perhaps easier than the simulations of 1/6G that we performed in various simulations on the ground. Absolutely no trouble to walk around. Ethan engine did not leave a crater of any size. It has about 1 foot clearance on the ground. We're essentially on a very level place here. I can see some evidence of rays emanating from the descent engine, but very insignificant amount. Okay, Buzz, we ready to bring down the camera?
I'm all ready. I think it's 2 miles squared away in good shape.
And okay. Buzz Aldrin came down as well. Now, all they were thinking about was the moment. But as you heard in the pre-launch, there was a chance they weren't going to get home. And they weren't thinking about it at that moment. But they placed the plaque and read it that they put on the moon.
We'll read the plaque that's on the front landing gear of this LAM. One showing each of the two hemispheres of Earth. Underneath it says, "Dear men from the planet Earth, first set foot upon the moon, July 1969 AD. It came in peace for all mankind. It has the crew members' signatures and the signature of the President of the United States."
And then they had to make the return trip to Earth.
And here they come. Here they come, the three astronauts, Armstrong, Aldrin, and Collins. Waving to the crowd of cheering sailors.
That's after they emerged after splashdown. Very cool. 50 years ago this weekend. Thanks to Nicole Jennings, who curated all that audio for us. And the big lead at 2 is next.